thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Well, very good evening and welcome to the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Jake Watson in for Johnny Burrow this evening. And the chaps somewhat reunited. I believe it's been a while since you've all been in the studio, just like myself. I think the last time I saw Chris was after the Man City semi-final. This is my first time kind of hosting this show since then. So we've got Chris, we've got Ricky, fresh from a honeymoon, literally landed this morning. I love the commitment. I love the dedication.
It's the Ndombele show. You've got to be here.
It's Ndombele. And of course, Mr. Reliable, Jason, there in the corner. How are we, chaps? Are we well?
We're all good. I'm stunned that Ricky's had his honeymoon for 10 days and still spent more time on Twitter than he did with his wife. So instead of consummating the marriage in a proper way, he was still talking about Jared Bowen from Hull. But there you go.
Let's talk about this.
But at least we've got real transfers to talk about.
We have real transfers to talk about. Because look, Ricky, you are Mr. Transfer. Anyone who follows you on Twitter, you know, all the rumours, all the speculation, you're hot on it. If anyone following yourself would probably have had no idea whatsoever that you've been on honeymoon for the last, what is it, 2 weeks? Because the tweets have still been going.
But you've got to keep up with it. You know, you've got to keep up with it.
Are the missus okay with that?
She is absolutely fine. She had a wonderful time and a wonderful honeymoon. And honestly, making it even at Twitter was that son of Ndombele, you know, a guy that we've raved about on the show before. It's hard to believe that he's signed for Tottenham. You know, it's been a while since we've had a transfer, as we know, over 500 days. And we'd like to say, get him in early. And we've done it. And, you know, Jace, you're the one that always says, you know, we do get players in early previously. We've gone and done it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. But I'm just struggling to think the memories from 20 years' time of Ricky's honeymoon will be the best thing was when Spurs signed Ndombele.
Do you not see how he's seen trying to move it on?
He hasn't done any shopping for his wardrobe. Is he still dressed in black now?
But like everything about this transfer feels like a non-Spurs transfer because the fee is huge. And as you say, it's been done so early. For so long, we've been talking about how close apparently this deal is. I just felt like it was going to drag on forever and ever and ever. And then eventually somebody else would perhaps come and nick him. And it's not happened. It's a mega fee and it's a mega signing. You must be absolutely buzzing.
Well, every transfer window, we're always waiting. As Spurs fans, like you said, over 500 days we've waited for a transfer. We then got two in one day. I know when one went straight back on loan to Leeds, but it was a big one. And full credit to the club, full credit to Daniel Levy and Pochettino for bringing in such a player. We've finally spent some money, which is great. And the thing that I really love is the fact that we have got such a big signing in so early in the summer. You know, we've got another month of the transfer window being open, so let's hope that this is the first of many signings coming in this summer.
Mm. Well, I do think it is a statement of intent from the board to go and get this kind of player, 22 years old, box-to-box midfielder, one of the best of his age. Mm. And what I loved about it is, you know, listen to some of the outlets out there, the fact that Daniel Levy and Maurizio Pochettino sat in a room and said, you are not leaving until you sign that contract. So the fact of the matter is, the most important thing for me was Maurizio Pochettino's number one summer target. So Spurs have delivered on that point. Mm. And I think the most important thing now that we do see is that the board want to now go and build around him. Because it's all very well bringing Ndombele in. He's going to be a marvellous player, I've got no doubt about it. But the fact of the matter is that there is still areas in that squad that need improvement. Players still want to go. Spurs still have to got to carry on the work they need to do here, Jace.
No, it's a fantastic sign-in. I mean, when we were first linked, was it back in October, November, I said if it comes to a bidding war, we definitely won't sign him, then that he'll go to one of the genuine elite clubs. And I think the fact that we got to that Champions League final just changes the perception completely about Tottenham. Whether you win it or not, the perception has changed and you are now seen perhaps around Europe as a club that can challenge for the major things. And then you go in with a club record signing and bring in a player of that quality. It definitely changes the perception. It's a fantastic signing.
Yeah, so was there a part of you at any point, Jace, you mentioned that this link has been there for a long time and perhaps, you know, the other elite clubs were linked with him, that the deal wouldn't happen? You know, was there still an element of surprise you've got this done?
No, I think once the season finished and the story first surfaced and that, you know, you never know whether the reports are true. You actually don't know now if there was another club in for him. It's only what you get to read, so you can't be 100% sure. But once we got the story started to come and that bids were going in, I actually felt confident we would get the player across the line. And I think you are at this stage with players where it seems to me once one club is really strongly linked, perhaps we on the outside don't know the deal, but the player's agent and the player more or less make their minds up and think, right, that's the one we're... I mean, you look at De Ligt at the moment, and he's not in the least bit interested to go and talk to Paris. He's done his deal with Juve, and it's Juve or nothing for him. And it's that type of thing. So, no, I was always confident that we'd get the deal across the line.
But I think it helps as well, the fact that Hugo Lloris, he apparently spoke to Hugo Lloris and Moses Sissoko, and that really helped. They told him what a fantastic club Tottenham are. They told him what a fantastic stadium we've got and fantastic facilities. All of these things help. And over the years, you know, we are developing something special. And let's just hope that you know, many more great players are signed and we go on to win trophies that we desperately want and need.
Just a quick question for you. If Spurs don't finish top four but had won the League Cup last year, are we signing Ndombele?
No. It has changed, Jake. We said this off air. The fact that Tottenham have changed now. We were, Champions League finalists. That is a big, big game changer. The fact that we've got a fantastic new stadium, the facilities that we've got. Most importantly, we've got a fantastic manager. We've got some fantastic players. Who wouldn't want to sign for Tottenham at the moment? You know, that's a serious question.
I agree.
Who wouldn't want to sign?
Just on that point, also the manager, I don't think you can underplay just how big he is as a pool for these players coming in. Ndombele, you know, as I said, 22 years of age, already one of the best box-to-box midfielders of his generation, of his age at the moment. And I think having a manager like Maurizio there that's shown that he can nurture talent, develop them, always progress them into their national squad. So he's already in for France. As Chris has said, he's spoken to Sissoko, he's spoken to Lloris about the move. There's no doubt he's going to get better in a Spurs shirt. And I think he's got the man there that's going to even develop him further. So I think the manager is such a massive pull.
Yeah.
For a lot of the players being linked to Spurs, the likes of Lo Celso, Bruno Fernandes, so many names out there, a lot of them want to come to Tottenham because they want to play this manager. And that's a massive, massive thing to have a manager in place where you know players are craving to be under him.
Yeah, I mean, naturally, this signing is going to go some way to appeasing fans, certainly for the time being. But what do you think it actually does for kind of other players? I know you say that who wouldn't want to play for them, but do you think this really does show a signal of intent, you know, in terms of the players that perhaps would have an interest from Spurs before, and now they're viewing Spurs completely different. When you see someone signing for 60 odd million quid, it does show that it's a club with clear ambition, that it's not just a signing because you need a central midfielder. This is a team who wants to go out there and sign the very best players to challenge against the very best teams.
I think it's just the combination, as Chris said, the stadium, that Champions League final shows where you want to be. And then, as you're right, you then finally go and you deliver a £65 million signing of a big player. We don't know what wage he's on, but apparently it's going to be huge wages.
So it's going to have to be.
The infamous Spurs wage structure has obviously been broken for him and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a player of a similar calibre at another club, you've got to now be looking at Tottenham as a genuine choice. Perhaps the Chelsea choice isn't there at the moment. The Arsenal choice definitely isn't there at the moment. So, absolutely, the Tottenham choice is.
But if you look, the five seasons Poch has been in charge, every season we have got better and better. And I know we haven't signed a player for over 500 days, but in my opinion, if Pochettino wanted a player and he wasn't available, then we wouldn't be getting him. He wanted these players and he's got them. So Daniel Levy knows that he is in a position where Pochettino could walk away from the job. If he doesn't get the players he needs and wants, and I think that's why we spend the money.
Yeah,
I mean, and rightly so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's have a quick word on Jack Clarke though as well. He's a talent, isn't he? He's a teenager. Were you surprised to see him head straight? I mean, I'm sure, did Leeds announce that he'd gone back to them on loan before Spurs had actually announced they'd signed him?
Well, the funny thing about this one is that I think if it's not Bielsa in charge of Leeds, he doesn't go back to them. The fact of the matter is that Pochettino, he's worked under Bielsa, he was his mentor. Therefore, I think this move does make sense. You know, the guy at the moment probably isn't coming in and make a direct impact to the first team. If he did, then he'd be with the Spurs squad next season. Spurs feel they want to get the player now because in 12 months' time, his value may very well be shotting up. So therefore, it makes a sense for him to go back to Leeds for a year, improve as a player under Bielsa, someone Pochettino knows well. Because we've seen with Maurizio in the past, when it comes to players, He likes to keep those around him. He doesn't always necessarily want to put them on loan, but he obviously feels the trust in obviously his previous mentor to know he's in a good spot at Leeds, and in 12 months' time he could turn out to be a wonderful player. I've had some great players from Leeds, likes of Aaron Lennon, you know, Robbie Keane. You know, off the tongue.
Did Danny Rhodes come from?
Yep.
Danny Rhodes from Leeds. Yeah. So listen, it's been a good hunting club for us. Hopefully, it will continue.
I think you're right. I think the Bielsa factor is a major part, because it's the person that Pochettino, I think, most respects amongst managers. So I'm sure that's it, and he feels that he'll get the coaching and the work ethic and things from Bielsa that he needs. Perhaps I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't kept him for pre-season at least for a few games, just to get an early look at him and a feeling of what he is before he then maybe goes back to Leeds on the 1st of August or something like that, rather than literally misses the entire pre-season. But we'll have a look, and of course it will be just like a new signing next summer.
it was funny though that day, you know, Tottenham haven't had a signing for 500 days or so,
and you didn't even get your moment.
And then all of a sudden we've signed a player, and then he's like, "Oh, we're sending him out straight on loan." It's like, "Oh my god!" Yeah.
But I mean, apologies if you know the story of how Bielsa first signed Pochettino back in the olden days. I think he'd never seen him play, but he'd heard about him, and he'd gone to his house.
And he was asleep.
Yeah, he was asleep, and he said, "It's fine, let me just look at his legs." And he looked at his legs and said, "Yeah, he's a player," and signed him. And that's kind of the relationship. And it's a strange one, but it's classic Bielsa, isn't it? I wasn't sure if people knew of that story, but I like it. It makes me smile a lot. But just by looking at someone's legs, the crazy football granddad that is Marcelo Bielsa decided that Pochettino was going to be a player.
Was that the first signs of Spygate, was it?
I mean, he's about as unique, isn't he, as a football manager gets. So yeah, that story always sticks in the back of the head. But yeah, so on Jack Clarke, do we really know too much about him? Because he started only 5 games for Leeds last year. He played in a lot, but largely substitute appearances. I mean, a couple of goals I can remember him scoring.
Cracking one against Villa.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly a winger with a lot of talent. But you see, don't when like teenagers come through and you look at him and think, How on earth are you 17? How are you 18? I don't look like that when I was 25, 26. But Jack Clarke does strike me as still very much a teenager, looking at him physically.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him play live once when they played Derby, not in the playoffs, in the conventional Championship game. And I can remember tweeting the boys that night saying, "Have you seen this player here for Leeds?" Because he was fantastic that night. But that's the only time I saw him live. I think the number of starts was partly dictated because he had this illness, didn't he, at Middlesbrough, where he came off and collapsed on the bench. Whilst people look at the number of starts he had for Leeds, part of that is because he missed a couple of months at the end of the season where he perhaps would have been starting. So, but, you know, the talent, as I say, I saw that one night, but whether that's a one-off night or that's the average night remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he's a raw talent, isn't he? He's got pace about him. Again, it's hard to judge him in the pace space. He's only had 5 games at Leeds, so he's been bought off potential, and that's probably why Spurs want to see him, you know, go and develop at Leeds, give him another season under Bielsa, and hopefully when he comes to Spurs in the Premier League in 12 months' time, he'll be ready to challenge for a first-team place, Chris.
Yeah, so exactly.
I think that there was an argument, though, that with the depth of Spurs' squad being what it was, that he probably would have had a role within the first team this year. May have been worthwhile keeping him in and around.
Yeah, but like you say, 5 starts in the Championship.
But you could always send him then in January, couldn't you, if he wasn't getting game time?
He's obviously, you know, settled at Leeds, and you know, just give him one more season to have that experience in the Championship. Let's hope that he starts many games and gets many assists, score goals, and you know, and then he'll start the season fresh at Tottenham next year.
Yeah. Again, what you never know from a deal like that is whether Leeds said, if you want him now, completely now, it's $35 million.
Yeah,
now.
True.
Fair point.
If you want him on for now at $8 million, and you loan him back to us for a year, then fair enough. So you don't know what went on with a deal from that side as
Always the voice of reason, isn't he? He is. You see him and you know football differently.
Watch his ego, Jack.
Yeah, no, sorry, mate. Right, I need to take a break. It's the chap from the last word on Spurs here on the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. I get your calls in 0208 70 20 558. I can see we've already got one in, and we'll do that up after this break. I can see you want to talk about Christian Eriksen.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, welcome back. It is the Spurs show here on the Love Sport Radio. Just a quick update, by the way, in Wimbledon, Andy Murray is playing his game. It's his first game back after, a long, long time out. One set each at the moment. He plays in the mixed doubles tomorrow with Serena Williams. I'll continue to update throughout the evening. But let's talk about Christian Eriksen now. We've got Andy on the line. Very good evening, mate.
Good evening, chaps. How are you all doing?
Hello, Andy.
So, Christian Eriksen, mate, take it away. The floor is yours. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, no, obviously there's been a lot of debate about the whole Eriksen situation. I'm sure everyone's aware what's gone on. And I was just wondering what you chaps thought, because I had a similar sort of feeling when Walker left. I felt as though we were on the brink of achieving something big. And then obviously we all know he went on to play for City. And I was just wondering what you chaps thought, whether it was the whole factor of wanting to play for one of those like Galactico clubs, or do you think there's a bigger incentive behind it? Is it money-based? Just wanted to hear your thoughts on the situation.
I think he's first, you know, when he signed for us, he said he always had a career path. And I think probably from day one, we've probably always feared that would be probably more Barcelona based than anything else, that at some stage, if they came calling, he'd want to go there. But, you know, he seems to want to go. And perhaps as much as we all love Christian Eriksen, and in an ideal world, the scenario wouldn't be there. Perhaps it's just a question that he needs a fresh start to stimulate his career that little bit more. Perhaps it has just gone a little bit stale for him and he needs that pushing. But for me, if he goes, it's just about making sure we genuinely replace him, which we perhaps didn't do with Kyle Walker.
But do you guys think that if we won the Champions League, would he leave? Would he want to leave?
I think so, Chris. Yeah, I think he's kind of come to a period in his mind where I think he wants to move on from Spurs. I think, like Jason says, to a degree, I think he was at that pathway in his mind where he wanted to play for either a Real Madrid or a Barcelona. And I think he got to his expiry date at Spurs, where maybe it was to do with the wages to some degree, but I think time just ran out of Eriksen.
I think it's about trophies. I really do. Yeah.
Andy, do you want him out? You think he's run his course now? You know, thank you very much. Shake of the hand and say goodbye.
No, to be honest, if I'm being brutally honest, you want him to stay because he's one of our top players, especially on his day. There aren't many better in Europe. But I think the thing with Christian Eriksen is the consistency is what frustrates a lot of the Spurs fans.
Because,
as I just mentioned, on his day, he's a world beater, and then you wonder how we do have him at Spurs and why we're so lucky to have him in our side. But no, there's a part of me that accepts that he's 27 now. He has given us 6 years of service, so you can kind of understand it. But by the same token, I'm selfish. I'm a Spurs fan, so yeah, I want him to stay.
But chaps, where do you reckon he'll end up? Because it felt that it was, well, the rumours were all about Real Madrid, but it now feels like that's not going to happen with the Eden Hazard, and they've signed so many other players. Just can't see them spending £90 million now on Christian Eriksen. I can't see any other feasible, likely destinations for him, but he seems so set on going. So I feel it's a really strange situation at the moment with Eriksen, because naturally Spurs would like to keep him.
Can I be honest with you, though? If they watched his last 6 months in a Spurs shirt, he wasn't that impressive.
No.
And what I will say is that to defend that, he's playing a lot of games for the club. Don't get me wrong, he's playing more of a deeper role. I take that all into consideration. But I do feel that he went off the ball in those last 6 months. I know you're a massive fan of him, Chris.
I am, yeah.
Do you not agree that in the last 6 months, was he good enough at that level for Tottenham?
Do you know what? When Christian Eriksen's playing well, he can be one of the best players in the world. And I really do hope he stays. I really, really do. And I know that he got a lot of stick this season, drifting in and out of games. But when he does perform, he really does perform. And
look, Is it enough, though? Do you reckon it was enough?
Yeah, but look out there. Who else are you going to get in who's going to be better than him?
But is he going to sign a new contract, though? You know, you're not going to let him go on a free. If nobody's going to come in and pay a proper fee, then what does happen? It feels a really, really strange kind of situation where, you know, Spurs would like to keep him. He doesn't want to sign the contract, but nobody's going to pay the money that Spurs are going to want for him.
I don't think he said he's not going to sign a contract. I think he'd be happy to stay.
So still hope. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think he'd be happy to stay. He's hinted that he might want to leave, but, you know, a lot of footballers do that.
It's almost like that girlfriend analogy, you know, I'll stay with you unless I can find someone better.
Could I be happier?
Could I be happier, you know?
But that is my argument. How many players out there is better than Christian Eriksen?
Oh, yeah, not many. Not many at all. No, nobody's doubting the ability of Christian. Andy, by the way, cheers for your call, mate. Really appreciate it. We've got another call, Adrian. Adrian, is it the same subject, Christian Eriksen?
Yeah, it is. Oh, and I want to say hello to Chris. Love his blogs and welcome Ricky back to the land
Thank
of the
you.
Living.
Thank
yeah.
you, pal.
And, the Eriksen situation. I mean, has he thought this through? I mean, if Gareth Bale can win 4 Champions League medals there and the Real Madrid fans get on his case, they're not going to put up with Eriksen having below par performances, are they?
But in many ways, you wouldn't go to a club like that and think, I'm going to be below par. You'd go there thinking, if they're going to pay 70, 80, 90, whatever the fee is they're going
to
pay for him, they're
paying
it, and that I'm going to be a star there. So I'm sure he's not thinking of the fans would get on his back.
Another question. about, do you think, I mean, I know Poch really wants Chelsea. Yeah, I've watched him. He looks a decent player. He looks a very good player. But Levy seems to be, there seems to be these rumours going around about Eriksen to Madrid and Sabella's coming and perhaps doing a deal for Alderweireld with Zaniolo at Roma, you know. So I'm wondering if the Eriksen money will be used for them instead of a Lo Celso.
It's a lot of rumours, Adrian. I don't believe in rumours, so...
You spread
them. You create the rumours.
It was sarcastic. Now, listen, in honesty, on that debate about Sebalos and Lo Celso, I think there will only be one out of the two. I don't see them both coming, so... I mean, what I will say about Lo Celso is, you know, he has had exposure to Europe. He looks a decent little player. But again, it's big boots to fill. I mean, Chris is right that Eriksen on his day is one of the best central midfielders, not just in the Premier League, but in the whole of Europe. So it would take a massive replacement for him. But this is the challenge of the Tottenham ball now. They went out and got, you know, Ndombele. I don't think any of us saw that coming 6 months ago. Can they go and do the same with Eriksen and bring in a player of adequate, you know, replacement team or even stronger? I mean, it's a big shoes to fill, Jace.
It is, and I've said perhaps the way you'd look to replace him is that you change the way of play. I mean, you could have Sissoko, Winks and Ndombele in a 4-3-3 with Moura, Son, Kane, and you've still got Ali and players like that. So, you know, it may well be that we don't directly replace him as a passing number 10. We tailor-make our system a little bit to what's available out there.
Yeah, so Adrian, sorry, mate, have you lost all hope, or do you still kind of harbour some hopes?
I don't think it's heart's there, you know. I mean, there's lots of interesting things with Spurs, with tactics, and there aren't there, because you've now got the question of the fact that if you've got Sissoko, Ndombele, Ali and Winks fighting for four spots, does that mean that Dyer's got to play at centre-half at right-back? I mean, I know Foyt's been playing right-back for Argentina. Or does it mean Dyer's got to go? I mean, does it mean curtains for Wanyama, you know?
Adrian, can I just ask you a question? How much money do you think we're going to spend this summer, and how many more players do you think we're going to be bringing in?
Chris, it could be a lot of money, right? Imagine, if Eriksen went for 60, yeah, and Alderweireld went for 25, that's 85. If Wanyama went for 15, you're now at 100 mil, right? If you could get rid of Nkudu and Janssen for 10 mil, you're at 110 mil. If you sold Trippier for 25 mil, you're now at 135.
Hold on a minute, we need some players.
Well, I'm just saying, about 10 rumoured to go. I mean, I actually believe that. I mean, I want Dyer to stay, I want Rose to stay, and obviously Davis, because he's emergency left-footed centre-half. That's why I was hoping we'd get someone like Nathan Aké at the club, you know? Mm. So, but, I mean, those that are listed, they're not... You know, all our key players are all signed up and staying. The top ones, aren't they? You know, all the strikers and Ali in that, you know. But there's only four, you know. It's a lot going to be competition for midfield, which is good, you know.
Can I just say, on the Danny Rose agenda, there's a lot of propaganda going around. I'm supporting the hashtag Don't Sell Danny Rose. God, don't let Danny Rose go. I know there's been a lot of rumours about Danny Rose, but... season. Chris will back me up on this. He's one of the guys out there, especially in a derby, he gets it. And I know, Chris, you said before, I think the Arsenal game in the Cup, that when you saw Danny Rose as captain, you knew we were going to fight.
He's just so up for it. If there's anyone who understands what it's like to be a Spurs fan, it is Danny Rose. He gives 110% every game.
He always wants to drive forward as far as what I like about him.
And also, I just think there, with Danny Rose, if you're going to look to bring in Ryan Sessegnon, you know, a young player like him, what an understudy that is to have Danny Rose in terms of going forward. Of course, Danny at times has been susceptible, you know, defending-wise, but I think for Sessegnon, who's going to be a player that's going to come in, I think more as an attacking wing-back, I think that would definitely benefit Spurs, having Rose there, 100%.
That would be another great signing. But
a fit Lamella for a season would be good as well.
We've got to keep him fit. That's the problem, Jace. What do you reckon? Any chance on Lamella keeping fit?
He's the one I'd let go, because just not fit enough, not consistent enough when he is fit. The talent's there, but you just don't get enough of it.
Can't rely on him.
I agree. And I think if it was going to happen for Lamella, it would have done him by now.
Spot on.
All right, Adrian, mate, really appreciate the call. Do keep them coming in, Spurs fans. 0208 70 2558 on for another half hour or so. On the agenda for the rest of the show, we can talk about Daniel Levy. Always got something to say about Daniel Levy. Plenty of opinions. Everyone's got one on him. Pochettino has been speaking to the press about the roles of managers within football clubs. Says that Pep, Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, it's different. They've got it different than what, for instance, he has at Spurs and various other clubs like at Chelsea and Arsenal as well. And of course, loads more transfer stories and rumours to get through before 9 p.m. this evening. So do stay with us. It's the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Love Sport. Right, should we talk about Daniel Levy, shall we?
Yeah, Jace, take the floor.
Yeah.
Dad, you're leaving.
This was put forward by yourself this evening, Jason. Explain why you put this bullet point.
Yeah, it's you know, there's very much the leave in, leave out look on Twitter. I think most of us on the podcast get accused of being happy clappers and that we don't demand that he leaves the club. He's had his critics, a lot of it justified, but this week, you know, you're right, he's gone in there. Over the last 5 years, his programme notes every year and every statement he's made have said, I think there was the first thing a few years ago was we need to make comfort signings. Do you remember that? It was like we're more comfortable at those. So he's not broken any promises. He's not broken any made lies to us or anything like that. But he always said once the stadium comes, that's the game changer. The stadium has come and he's changed the game, and full credit to him. And all the people that said he wouldn't go and do it and this transfer won't happen, they've now had to eat a little bit of humble pie and seen that we have delivered. But there's a lot more work he's got to do in this window to convince.
Well, I was going
to
say that he has to spend money, doesn't he? He has to spend money this summer. This is the How one summer.
A lot. A lot. The thing is, what I was saying to you off air before we come on the show is that we do actually need players. We need squad players.
Yeah, of course.
Llorente's contract has now run out. Michel Vorm has now left. Dembele left, obviously. You know, we've got players leaving.
Wanyama, Dai haven't been fit enough for the last couple of seasons.
Exactly, and we need squad players, so we do need quite a few more signings yet.
So neither of you eating humble pie at the moment? You're not at that point? You still need more?
No, I mean, what I will say about Daniel is I do genuinely believe that every decision he makes in the best interest of the football club, and we may not always like them as supporters, but I do believe that he's always got the best intentions at heart. Yes, at times his intentions have cost us when it comes to the transfer window and trying to get, you know, the most amount of money for players and not looking to push it when it comes to bringing players in where you could spend a little bit more money. I just think Spurs fans in general, when I look at it at a transfer window, especially in the last 4 or 5 years in the market, I feel like every window that ends, we get close, but we never get the end result that we want. And this summer, again, I still feel we'll be in a position where the squad will not be exactly what Maurizio wants, but it needs to be at a point where it's going to be manageable. Because like Chris says there's so many players that not only we need to replace, but we need to make the squad better.
Yeah.
We can't get away from the fact that last season, the Premier League, we inched over the line top four. Yeah. We really, really did. You were lucky to make top four.
Because everyone else is so poor in the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, you feel that for a couple of years that it was almost deemed a success keeping that squad together because the team was so good and it was so talented and young and they were growing together and improving. But it did get to that point, didn't it, where it needed freshening up. And it's so, not fortunate, but you're so lucky and I'd say it's the wrong word, but the fact that you have got that Champions League final now and the stadium, this is a huge, huge opportunity, isn't it? This is one of the biggest transfer windows.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure if it goes far as history, but certainly in living memory, isn't it?
The fact that Pochettino has been there for 5 seasons, we are constantly a top four club now, having been in the Champions League final, season just gone. At some point, Pochettino is now going to say, I now want a challenge for the title.
Spot.
We need to spend big, spend money, and get some quality players in. And even Ndombele is talking.
His first words, Chris, were, "I've come here because I want to win the Champions League. I want to compete for the Premier League." And I genuinely believe now,
Ndombele saying
that. And when Maurizio's sitting down with his players and he's talking about the vision and the outline, he's not sitting there saying to come to Spurs, come and be Spurs. We're a top
packet.
Four
exactly,
Champions
yeah.
League regular. We now want to win things.
When they come, you know, their first interview and they're saying, "I want to win the Champions League. Let's hope we're in the final of the Champions League, you know, this coming season." You know, that's what you want to hear.
I think as well the other big change is that for much of the time that he's been in control of the club, there have been 5 or 6 better options to go to in England if he was a foreign player. Manchester United were always there, City and Liverpool, Chelsea were going to be there, and Arsenal for much of the time were way above us. And I think that's also changed now with Chelsea not being able to probably sign this summer. Arsenal are no longer the appeal. They don't have that Champions League. And even Man United now, you hear those comments now, why would you leave Tottenham for Man United? Mm. They have all that history, and I understand that comment. So
they're in transition as well, Jason United.
Yeah, exactly, and so Tottenham we don't have the competition. If we wanted Ndombele and all the English clubs went for him, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, he wouldn't have even looked at Tottenham. He would have chosen those other ones.
Yeah.
Now, if it wasn't Liverpool or Man City,
another Willian moment.
And it is Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United, you would choose Tottenham. So I think that's a big difference in it as well. And that allows you to go for a higher level player.
The old cliche, though, a leopard never changes its spots. I think it's a fair comment. You know, are we convinced that Levy sees this window as the same opportunity that Spurs fans see it? You know, because he has been so setting his ways for so long. Do we think he's suddenly just going to start going out not necessarily spending money, because it's not about spending money, it's just bringing in the right players, but do you think he's going to do a different approach to this window as he's done over previous summers?
Well, I don't think anyone generally would have believed, like Jay said, 6 months ago, he was adamant we wasn't signing the
Belay. I didn't think it was going to happen.
We've got it done, but it has to now be a point where that is the benchmark in terms of, you want to look at him and you want to try and build a squad around him. Because I say central midfield, it's an area where Spurs still need to improve. I think even if Spurs did keep Eriksen, I think Lucchesi would still be a great player to have alongside him. You know, when you look at that midfield, Winks and Dembele, Sissoko, that's a magnificent midfield. If you can keep Eriksen as well, who knows what's going to happen? I think Lucchesi is a lovely little player. Again, for Spurs, fullback is another issue. I wanted to keep Danny Rose for me. I keep saying it, Danny Rose, got to keep him in the team. Ben Davies, Kieran Trippier, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be too heartbroken if both of those guys left. Serge Aurier is another one where, I'll be honest with you,
take it or leave it.
It was almost last season with Trippier and Aurier. Who's less likely to make a mistake? Wouldn't it, Jason? I'll be honest, that's what it was like at right back.
Yeah, it wasn't who you wanted at right back, it was who you didn't want at right back, wasn't it? So I don't want Aurier there, so Trippier has to play. It wasn't that you really wanted Trippier there, so that's been a problem position.
But I know this is going to sound like a really happy clapper thing to say, but it is very exciting being a Tottenham fan right now.
Of course it is, yeah.
And even, you know, say this time last year, we all sat here and said, oh, this season we're going to get in the Champions League final and we're going to spend £60 million on a player. We'd never
and
believe
get a new
it,
stadium,
we?
Chris.
We'd never believe it.
No. You'd have been accused of being deluded, mate.
Whoa.
No, it's great to say, but the new stadium as well, what will be great to say is, I'm going to start off in there from day one this time, and I do genuinely believe the way we made White Hart Lane a fortress in that last season, I'd see no reason why we can't do the same with this new stadium from day one, Chris. You know, we're at home against Villa. It's, you know, a team that, you know, newly promoted. Of course, there's always that option of being a banana skin, but I think the Spurs can come out with hopefully a few new signings as well. I think that'll really galvanise the crowd, and I'm just saying, please, Pochettino stay. I'll be honest with you, I know we haven't really spoke about it much, but between that gap of the Champions League final, that 10-day period where there was a bit of uncertainty as to what his future and where it was at. Let's be honest about it, there was.
I never had any uncertainty about Pochettino leaving.
Do you know what, I generally did, Chris. I mean, I don't know about you. I honestly were worrying because... It's his post-match comment, though, Chris. But there's his post-match comment where...
He could shut it down sometimes, and he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that suits his agenda at the time. Maybe it was about, you know, bargaining power. Maybe the Ndombele transfer wouldn't have happened if he came out and committed his future to Tottenham. So...
You can tell he's very, very happy there. You can tell he's very happy in the job.
But he wants to win stuff, Chris, doesn't he?
And he has a fantastic relationship with the chairman, Daniel Levy. You know, I was at a fans forum a few years ago, and their conversations with one another and the way they are one another, it's like two mates. It was really nice. Really nice to watch.
And he doesn't speak to Daniel Levy through press conferences. You know, when people say, oh, he has those conversations in Daniel Levy's office weeks before the end of the season.
But I feel, Jace, he uses the press when it suits him with an agenda. Do you not agree on that?
Yeah, I think all managers do, don't they? And that's part of it. But I think the key conversations between him and Daniel Levy don't take place through the media.
And I think a lot of his words are taken out of context. And, you know, a lot of the little clips that we see, I wouldn't take much notice of it.
I mean, I think, you know, I think it's one of the things we said. You see the soundbite this week of, you know, I want to Pep and Klopp control transfers, and it doesn't happen. And so all the haters jump on that. But it doesn't get reported, he said, like Chelsea, Tottenham, Arsenal. Yeah. And those that want to jump on that, well, if he went to Real Madrid, he doesn't control transfers. If he went to Manchester United, he doesn't control transfers. If he went to Paris, he doesn't control transfers. There's not many clubs where you... control
I think it's
the transfers.
Only Manchester United don't have like a sporting director, isn't it? Within the Premier League these days, it is completely standard. So I think that is, I'll agree that one's a bit of a mountain out of a molehill situation.
But the haters can jump on that headline and
it's
think,
yeah.
There you go, look, he's fed up with Daniel Levy. He didn't say that actually at all.
No. So do you think the Ndombele deal, you know, does kind of end doubts any that, like someone like yourself, Ricky,
it's Pochettino's number one
future?
Man. Honestly, you know, at the end of the day, he's delivered his number one summer target. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a lot of clubs in for him.
Yeah.
You know, he came to the training ground. He saw the stadium, as Chris mentioned. This is a massive, massive move for Tottenham. But all we just keep on saying is, we don't want to get too carried away because there's still a long way for the window to go. We now just want to see that as the benchmarker to go and now bring players in and around him that are hopefully as good as him to really push Tottenham on. We all want to see Spurs now compete for trophies. We sat, me and Chris, I think we did the show, Crystal Palace, after the Cup exit. We were devastated by how we went out the Cup. And we all sat there and and said, look, as much as we love seeing Spurs in the Champions League, we want to see them win cups. We want to see this team go on and win trophies. And I think now it's come to a point, especially with the manager, where he must want to win trophies. This team want to win trophies. You said, very excellent, Chris.
That is a big thing for me. And I know a lot of Tottenham fans I speak to, and they're like, oh, yeah, but, you know, playing in the Champions League and all of that. You know, we would take FA Cups. We would take League Cups. Yeah. And, you know, for... You know, 1991. You know, it always grates on me that stat of 1991 since we last won the FA Cup, 2008 since we last won the League Cup. It's too long.
And we've had some great teams along the way the last few years. You know, well, the season I look at, you know, the Wanyama Dembele midfield combination and Walker and Rose, how that team didn't win something at the time was gutting. So this has now got to be, and I say, he says it himself, a new project.
Yeah.
He's now bringing players in with a view to come into Spurs to win the Champions League, to change for the Premier League, and that's all you can ask.
But you need a squad. To do that, don't you? You know, that's the thing that you've felt cost, you know, over the last couple of seasons that we've sat here and you've had to almost make a decision of what we're going for here. You know, are we going for top four or are we kind of compromising one or the other?
I think as well, the other thing that I think will show if he's really changed is if Lo Celso happens. Because I think Ndombele was almost an obvious target. We had a genuine need with Moussa Dembélé going. He was highly rated. Let's be fair about it. How many people had really mentioned Lo Celso 3 months ago? We was all mentioning Ndombele. And at the money that Betis wants, 70-odd million, when there are genuine alternatives like Tebalos and people like that available, if Daniel Levy backs the purchase of Lo Celso and signs a cheque for 70-odd million, then I think you really can say he's changing his mind. Because I think the old Daniel Levy would look at that and say, do we really want to spend 70 million there when Tebalos is available
for
30 million?
Did you know
million?
About, I think I asked you, Jace, at the time, what about Sonny? Did you know Sonny 3 months before he came to Spurs? You probably did because of the
agent
connection.
But
Chris, did you know Sonny? No. So I think, you know, there's players that aren't necessarily on the radar. I mean, the thing with now Twitter and
social
media in general.
But Sonny wasn't 70 million, was he?
But most Spurs fans never heard of him.
No.
So
that's the same with Chelsea. Not many people know him. We're always seeing his highlight reels at the moment. And he does look similar to Lamella, I'm not going to lie. But hopefully he's a lot more less injury prone than Lamella is.
And I think if you're Daniel Levy, you're looking at it thinking Paris sold Lo Celso for, what, 22 million quid or something 3 months ago. And suddenly he's gone from 22 million quid to 71 million quid in 3 months.
Yeah.
So that the old Daniel Levy would definitely not do that deal. There's no question the Daniel Levy that we know all along would not sanction that deal. If he's changed, he'll back him.
But Daniel Levy's not stupid. You know, no one at Tottenham is stupid in the fact that they know that we need to spend money. They know what areas we need to improve on. Certainly Pochettino does. And it is now up to us to you know, go and buy those targets. And you
who
know,
he wants, Chris. That's
exactly
the important thing. You have to get the players that Maurizio wants. He wants Ndombele. If he wants the Chelsea, I've got to be honest with you, Daniel Levy might have to pay a little bit more than the asking price to get the players that he wants. We've seen in the past where we've given managers alternative players to the ones they want. They've ended up walking. I don't think it's going to happen with Maurizio, don't get me wrong, but it's clearly, I'd say, a thought-out structure this summer in terms of the players he wants. He's delivered on his first target. There'll be other players as well that he wants. If the Chelsea's the man he wants, you have to go and get him.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, guys, we do need to take a break. We've not got long left before the end of the show. I'm just seeing a couple of messages come through. A couple of lads listen in Brazil want to talk about Dani Alves and some potential links there. Look, you've sent in a message. Give us a ring instead. 0208 70 2558. We can get you on before the end of the show and talk about some various other transfer stuff as well. Lo Celso, of course, maybe one thought as well, playing in the Copa America at the moment. Saw a lovely little video of him on Twitter playing at right back, leaving. I can't remember who it was for.
He left Coutinho for dead.
Yeah, it was Coutinho, wasn't it? That was very, very nice indeed. You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back. It's the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Sorry, it always happens, doesn't it? So, look, kind of any other business, trying to get a couple more calls in before the end of the show, 0208 7020 558. Yeah, let's wrap up kind of the Lo Celso rumours. I mean, I remember when he came through at PSG. Not many come through at PSG because it's kind of, what is it, the Harlem Globetrotters to go out and buy anyone. I was like, who is this Lo Celso? And then I realised he's an Argentinian international. He's a young player and he was playing a hell of a lot. And then I think he was basically sold to Real Betis, wasn't he, to balance the books because of FFP. And then just from there, he's just flourished into this incredible player. Was it 17 goals last season from midfield? And he's got that release clause, which Real Betis is saying that's the only way he's going to leave. Again, you know, I always go back to the Ndombele.
Similar to Orlas, what he said about, you know, I think you're right there. Yeah. There'll be bargaining power. Listen, towards the end of the window, I mean, we know what it's like. When a player wants to leave, and the club no longer need to replace him.
So is Lascelles so being open in terms of wanting to leave?
Well, not
is that the vibes we're getting?
The Betis manager has already stated that, you know, the funds that come from Lascelles will be pushed back into the squad.
Yeah.
So there's already an acceptance there that the player may look to leave.
Right,
but
okay.
Obviously at the moment, we're only in July. So Betis are well within their right to demand that release clause.
Yep.
And, you know, they'll keep on going.
Can you see going out and spending another 60 million plus? It would be, that would be mega, wouldn't it?
The dust off that cheque. I'm not sure about that.
He needs to spend. I can't see it, but at the same time, the links are so strong, and the noises from Real Betis are so strong in terms of what they want. Then clearly Spurs, they know what the deal is. So why would they still be talking to them if there wasn't a kind of inevitability or acceptance that that's how much they'd have to spend?
Well, the strange thing was Sky yesterday were reporting that talks had ended and that Tottenham weren't interested, and then Ricky's tweeting from his Mexican sunbed within a couple of minutes, it's an 80% done deal. And I'm thinking, I've just seen that come up. But yeah, there's certainly so many strong links and just about every newspaper and media outlet going for it. So I think I'd be surprised if Tottenham don't end up signing him. But I think it will be in the knowledge that players are going out and that, you know, some of that money will be coming in for him, that's for sure.
I know there's been obviously the one player we haven't really spoke about on the show in the last hour or so has been Alderweireld. Now, what we have to say is that this release clause doesn't come into the last 2 weeks of the window, so maybe we shouldn't be surprised that there hasn't been much speculation of him. But, Chris, would you be surprised if he's here at the start of the season?
No, not at all. I think, obviously, him and Pochettino had this falling out, if you can call it that. I'd be delighted to see him stay. I really would. I think he's one of the best defenders in the Premier League. Always have done. And I do hope that he stays. But no, I won't be surprised.
But don't pay him what he wants, Jace.
Well, you don't know what he wants. If he's asking for 400 grand a week on a 10-year deal, then you don't pay him whatever he wants, do you? If he wants 60 grand a week more than Van Dijk, you don't give him it.
I think he'll be here, you know. I've got the same thing. I think he'll be here.
It's got to come to a head, hasn't it, at some point.
No,
it's got to.
I know you want to be here, yeah.
For the 25, I said last year, if we could have got 65 million, I'd have let him go. But at 25 million, I sincerely hope he stays. Because, like Chris, I think he's a top-class defender. I just don't think he's a world-class defender.
My worry is, though, you know, in that last 2 weeks, if we do get a bid, have we got enough time to then go and get a replacement? That's my worry. And then are we left short in that area if we do sell him?
Well, this is why we need to do business sooner rather than later.
So would you buy another defender in, even with the foresight that you might not let Toby go? Would you go and spend the money on, like, an Aki?
Yeah, but I think we need to spend money in different areas first.
I don't think Tottenham will get...
This is what I'm saying. We need a number of players to come in.
I don't think Tottenham will get caught out by a late bid. I think they'll know now if there's going to be a bid coming at the end of July. Toby's representatives and that.
Do you know? But you sure on that game?
Clubs know.
But if an 11th hour bid comes in, he's got to go because they match the release clause.
I mean, nobody's bid for Eriksen, but don't you think the club know there's a bid coming
for Eriksen?
The
difference with Alderweireld is that in those last 2 weeks, if a bid comes in that matches that release clause, he can go.
He can do, yeah. But I think
Spurs are in that situation where if he can go, then we have to look to get a replacement.
I'm saying is, I think Tottenham will know now if there is a 25 bid that's going to come in for him in 2 weeks' time.
And I think him, Daniel Levy, and Pochettino would have had the conversation of "Are you staying?" and a gentleman's handshake of saying yes.
Does that mean anything in football, though, Chris?
I think so. Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Do you not think it's absolutely crazy that, you know, I'm sat here as a Leicester fan, batting off bids from the Manchester clubs at 80 million quid
for Maguire.
For Harry Maguire, and there's Alderweireld here available, and everyone knows it, at 25 million quid.
But we do know it's the last 2 weeks where that release clause comes in. That's why, for me, I'm not getting too confident or cocky at the moment. I do think he'll be here, but you can't say for sure. In those last 2 weeks, if a bid comes in, there's nothing. Spurs can't do anything about it, Jess. They have to accept
it. I can't see why nobody would not be interested at that deal. That's an absolute bargain for anyone.
It's like I say, if there's a club that wants to pay the 25 million in 2 weeks' time, they already know that that club wants to pay the 20.
Why are you so sure they know now?
Come out of the blue.
It's a fair point. But at the same time, you can't completely bank on it, can you?
No, but a club will have already spoke to Toby's representatives and say, we know this player is available for 25 million and we intend to hit the 25 million clause on the first date it becomes available. They don't have to make it on the 3rd of June.
The inquiries would have certainly been there, yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know. I mean, it just worries me, the fact that, because it's those last 2 weeks, and it would be so typical Spurs that we're probably going to get players in other areas, and then you go and lose Alderweireld, and it would be such a kick in the stomach.
But when someone like him can see that we're now spending £60-odd million on a player...
I hope he does see that and wants to stay, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hope he does. But, I mean, has that convinced Eriksen?
We don't know.
Right, word on Juan Foyth, Dowie. We've only got a couple of minutes left before the end of the show. He's been starring for Argentina in the Copa America, playing at right back. We're talking earlier about the fullback situation with regard to saying it was who you want least. To be starting at right back with Sergio Aurier and Kieran Trippier at times last season, he's been doing the job for Argentina. Could he be the answer? You're just all going to say no, aren't you, and just completely just kill that.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, I do love a pacey fullback. And to be fair to Foyth, he made some great runs towards the end of the season, you know, centre-back wise. But I mean, for me, I think Chris said it earlier, that we haven't never really gone in and replaced Walker, you know. Or don't get me wrong, Walker at times, and he had a mistake, but that blistering pace, I mean, yeah, we were fantastic. The season we had Danny Rose left back, Walker the other side, teams brilliant, just could not live with that pace. And, you know, Wan-Bissaka, I think, was the one that Jace was wanting the most, but you know, we knew from early on, Jace, that Spurs just wouldn't be able to match the fee.
And again, he seemed destined to want to go there, didn't he? So my worry about Foyth, I saw the clip of him sending Coutinho up the river, but you know, no Spurs fans seem to have tweeted the fact that Gabriel Jesus' goal with Foyth just standing about 5 yards away, just completely watching him, completely unaware he's there.
That's Spurs fans.
And I'm thinking,
you have to
minute.
Ruin it, Jace, didn't
what?
You?
No, but, the voice of bloody reason. You know,
don't let facts get in the way of a good tweet.
There are so many mistakes in him, and he just doesn't seem to read his awareness seems appalling. There's real talent with him on the ball.
He's clearly rated by a lot of
people. There's real talent, but he has a hell of a lot to learn defensively. And to think of him as our number one right back next year is no. I'd sooner have Sergio Aurier or Kieran Trippier in that case.
And also, no offence, I think Walker Peters also still needs to. I would put him on a loan. I think a Premier League loan would be best for him. I don't think Walker Peters is ready yet.
We need players.
I know we need players, Chris.
Don't send any more out.
And homegrown ones.
But the thing that matters is, at the moment, that is a concern for us, that right back situation. We haven't been linked to many. I mean, we've been linked to everyone else in the world. We've not been linked to too many decent fullbacks.
No.
That's what worries me.
That is a big concern.
It must be the next signing. It must be.
Well, Ricky, if you need to get some rumours going, you need to get that in.
I don't know about that. Jace will kill me.
We've got a few messages in, by the way, from people suggesting that Dani Alves, a free transfer, left PSG at the end of last season. He could come in for a year, couldn't he, and do a job, still doing the job for Brazil.
I think he objected us, OJ, a couple of summers ago, Alves. I think
we're 37 now, you know. Why not?
Well, to be fair, Lorenzo
played in the Premier League before.
Lorenzo was 56, was he?
Yeah. just very quickly before we need to leave this evening, it's been an absolute pleasure. Just an update on Andy Murray's game in Wimbledon. He's currently playing in the men's doubles with Pierre-Hugues-Hébert. Apologies if I've got his name massively wrong. It's into the fourth set, but Murray is currently 2-1 up. Going well for Murray in his return to Wimbledon. This has been the Spurs Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Chaps, it's been an absolute pleasure seeing you again, and hopefully see you very, very soon.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.